We are studying the book of Exodus, and we're in chapter 4 today as we look at the second part of God's call to Moses. Let's read together as we begin. And Moses answered and said, "But suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, 'The Lord has not appeared to you.'" So the Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" He said, "A rod, a stick." And he said, "Cast it on the ground." So he cast it on the ground and became a serpent. And Moses fled from it. The Lord said to Moses, "Reach out your hand and take it by the tail." And he reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to him. Furthermore, the Lord said to him, "Now put your hand in your bosom." And he put his hand in his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous, like snow. And he said, "Put your hand in your bosom again." So he put his hand in his bosom again and drew it out of the bosom, and behold, it was restored like his other flesh. Then it will be, if they do not believe you, nor heed the message of the first sign, that they may believe the message of the latter sign. And it shall be, if they do not believe even these two signs, or listen to your voice, that you shall take water from the river and pour it on dry land, the water which you take from the river will become blood on the dry ground. And Moses said to the Lord, "Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." So the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord?" But he said, "Oh, my Lord, please send the hand of whomever else you may send." So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, "Is it not Aaron the Levite, your brother? I know that he can speak well, and look, he's coming to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Now you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and that will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do. So he shall be your spokesman to the people, and himself shall be a mouth for you, and you shall be to him as God. And you shall take this rod in your hand with which you shall do the signs." Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for calling us to yourself, O God. And thank you so much for calling us to your service. Thank you so much for giving us all sufficiency, even when we feel inadequate and insufficient. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be used of you in different ways, O God, as you enable us and as you gift us. Thank you so much for giving us courage and wisdom and strength, O God. Thank you so much for your truth. May it sink down our hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we saw how God called Moses to go free the Israelites from Egypt. He asked the Lord, "Who are you, Lord?" And God answered him. He said, "You know what? God tell them, I am who I am. The one who is above all is the one who has sent me." All right? So God would call Moses and then show who he is, explain who he is to him. Here we see Moses saying that, "God, you know what? What if they don't believe me still? I may tell them I am who I am, has sent me, but they may doubt. How should I prove to them that you've sent me?" Ideally, he's saying, "Lord, please prove to me in tangible ways, and please prove to them that you've sent me. Yes, I'm going to tell them about who you are, but Lord, please do something that is going to prove all this." And Moses is a little expressing his inadequacy and insufficiency for the task. And he wants more strength. He wants more ground. He wants more validation to his point. And it's good to ask the Lord for such things. "God, give me a confirmation about this thing that you're calling me to do." And God tells him, "Mora, what do you have in your hand? I'm going to use the things that you can relate with. I'm going to use the things that you actually have. So what do you have in your hand?" He said, "I'm a shepherd, so I have a stick. Throw the stick down." he does so, the stick becomes a snake, scary enough for him to run off. This was a man who would not ordinarily run away from snakes. He was a shepherd. He knew how to beat snakes. Right? If you've grown up in our society, the snake can pop out from anywhere. It come out of the bush, out of grass, it may be under your bed. For a shepherd, it's nothing unusual. He knew how to deal with snakes. But he took off, he ran from the snake. Now, remember he had no shoes. So imagine him running without his shoes. He didn't even care about the shoes. He just took off. And God said, "You're not okay, you pick it up by the tail." If you've watched people who hunt snakes, you know that they do not dare grab a snake by its tail. It gives it room to give you a good bite. What you do is you actually go for the neck or the head. So Moses is thinking, you know what, this thing is dangerous. So scary, I ran off. You want me to grab it by the tail? You want the snake to give me a bite? Okay, let me do it. He took courage and he grabbed the snake by the tail and it became a stick again. Now that snake was not going to go back to being a stick if Moses had not grabbed it. Moses could have said, "You know what, God, I'm too scared. Just do the thing, right? Just make it into a stick again." But God is teaching Moses his power and how he needs to be obedient to his instructions, even when it means taking a snake by the tail. God often uses what we have to not only confirm to us his call, but also to confirm to others his work in us. Reminds me of David. He only had stones when he was in front of a giant. He needed a mightier weapon than that, but he only had stones. And God would use those stones to bring down the giant. Samson had a jawbone of a donkey. You can imagine. That's the best tool that he could ever access. And he used it for what God had called him to do. Remember the boy in John chapter 6 who only had 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus would have made loaves and fish without this little boy's loaves and fish. But he used that and multiplied it. What you have in your hand, whatever you have, is actually given to you by God. And God can use that which you have to accomplish anything that he has called you to do. If you don't have anything, he will give it to you. He'll give you a stick, he'll give you the fish and bones, he'll give you a jawbone of a donkey. I once worked with somebody who was used to advanced tools, right? And this task, he didn't have any of his advanced tools. He didn't come with, you know, his hammers and his, you know, drills and all these electric tools. So we had to use a stone for a hammer. So I told him, you know what, sometimes in Uganda we just use stones. And it does the very same purpose as a hammer, right? just use what you have. Right? Moses is learning obedience and his faith is building. His courage for leadership is building. And tell you what, God is basically telling him that you did not waste 40 years being in the desert taking care of sheep for no reason. I can use that experience. I can use that stick for the next task that you have. And Moses, if you want more signs, put your hand in your pocket. He pulled out his hand and it was leprous. God says, put it back and pull it out. And it was whole again. And leprosy in the ancient world had no known cause and no known cure. And God is demonstrating to Moses that I am powerful enough to heal. And if you want more signs, you only asked for one sign. You know, God gives him 3. I can give you more confirmations that I'm with you and I'm the one sending you. And if you want more signs, Moses, just get water from the Nile and pour it on the ground. It will become blood. It will become contaminated. Now you can see the patience that God has with Moses. God is so patient with us. Right? When we struggle to understand or even to do the things that He wants us to do, He's not going to give up on us. He's going to help us every step of the way. If there is doubt, He is going to deal with that doubt. If there is fear, He will deal with that fear. He will remove it. If there is any excuse you may give, God has a solution for whatever excuse that you may give. So Moses has no excuse whatsoever. Moses, you wanted the signs, there you go. If they don't believe you, if you think you're not sufficient to prove your point, just use the signs. They will surely believe you. Now, truth is, Moses needed these signs from God. The Israelites had not had any messenger or message from the Lord for over 400 years. 430 years. No messenger, no message. So he had to have great backup to explain his point. Who is that God? If you claim He does miracles, please demonstrate to us some miracles. Do something supernatural. Moses was given that ability. And then in verses 10 to 12, you know what Moses says? Moses said to the Lord, "Oh my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." So the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Who makes one mute or deaf or blind or see? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you should say, what you shall say." God, I am not so good in public speaking. That's actually a very good excuse. If I picked anyone here randomly and said, "All right, you over there, come and say something up here for 1 minute." You know what will happen? You'll take the opposite direction. Like, no, not me. If you come, you know what will happen? The microphone will be unstable. There's a time of testimony that I remember. This lady came forward to give her testimony, and she completely failed. She could not speak. She just could not speak a single word, and the microphone was dancing all the way. Public speech is scary, right? I'm nervous every Sunday. Do you notice? Will you please clap for me? When you start speaking in public, you will let me know, please. Email me, all right? Email me your first experience. You'll see a piece of paper full of your notes, but it appears completely blank. And you're on the right page, but you can't see what you're looking for. So you go to the next page and lose yourself some more. God, I can't speak. God has an answer for that, doesn't He? So who made the mouth, Moses? I did. Who is going to speak? It's me. I'm going to speak through you. All you have to do is be willing. So Moses feels insufficient to even speak. God says, "You know what? I am the one who made the mouth. I'm the one who is giving you the message. It's very simple. You're going to speak." Moses, that's not even a good excuse. "I will be with your mouth and will teach you what you shall say." So if you're out there, you're afraid of public speech, God will teach you and guide your mouth. Amen? Verses 13 to 17, Moses gives his final excuse. "But he said, 'Oh my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send.'" God, please just send someone else. Remember where he started? "If I go there and they don't know you, who should I say? Who should I say sent me? I am that I am." God answered that. Okay. "What if I go there and I tell them I am that I am has sent me, but they still don't believe me? All right, let me do some miracles for you." God, "But I cannot speak well. I'm slow of speech and my tongue is slow too. I can't speak well." God says, "I made the mouth. I will teach you what to say." God, please send somebody else. This is when God will get serious with Moses. Like, Moses, come on. You have to pack and go, all right? We're not going to have a negotiation on this. If your excuse is that I should send somebody else or that you can't speak well, I'm sending you help. Your brother is coming. He has not interacted with his brother for a very long time, I suppose. So this is going to be a really beautiful, but also a very emotional reunion. And Aaron is going to help Moses through all his insufficiencies. And when we start giving God excuses about our own inabilities, you know what God does? He sends us help. So if you're out there thinking, God, you're calling me to do something, but I have no clue what to do, God is saying to you, I will send you every necessary help that you need. You did not call yourself to this. You did not appoint yourself to this. You're not speaking to yourself on this matter. I am speaking to you. I am calling you. I will equip you. I will enable you. I will send you help. Isn't God amazing? When we are out there, we think we have nothing. We cannot do anything. God says, I am the one who is doing it. So you be quiet, pack up your luggage, and get moving. Moses is ideally unwilling. And tell you what, if you start arguing with God, who loses the argument? Who loses the argument? We lose the argument. You know what we should be asking for? God, give me strength. God, you know that I'm not very good at speech, so help me. God, you know that I am weak. You know that I'm nothing. There is nothing that we can give as an excuse that God does not know about. He knows everything, doesn't he? I remember when I was in school, in Bible school, they'd ask me what I wanted to do after school. I told them I do not know. And then when I was asked to take on a role, I was thinking, no, not me. I said that to somebody who was leading me, and they were leaving the country, by the way. They were leaving the church. And they told me, God has made it very clear to me that it's you who is to take over this ministry. And I said, no. Can you find somebody else, please? And they basically said, you know what? You have to argue with God, not me. So that's up to you. If you want to obey, you obey. If you don't want to obey, that is up to you. God is not going to get us off his list of those he can use because we have all these inefficiencies and excuses. God will give us everything we need. God just sent somebody else. No, God, please help me. So help me, God. You're calling me to this hard task. Please help me. In Judges chapter 6, verse 15, when God had called Gideon, he was just out there looking for food. God called him to be a soldier. He told God, you know what? I have no training. I am small. My clan is small. Everything about me is small. He said to the Lord, oh my Lord, the messenger of the Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Is that a good excuse before the Lord? So you think that God does not know that? You think God does not know how small your clan is and how smallest you are in your family? He does know that. And God would handle Gideon's excuses and give him strength to go save the nation. One Christian wrote that it's common for men for us to give pretended reasons instead of the real one. Instead of saying, God, no, please choose somebody else, we kind of just love pretending. God, you know I can't do that, I can't do this, I can't speak, and I can't do that which you've called me to do. We don't want to tell him, God, I'm not willing to do that. Now, the thing is that even if you are unwilling, God will break that. And everyone God has called for any purpose may not necessarily be in the state of being able to perform the act, the work, the task. And some have given excuses, if not many. Some have actually been unwilling and disobedient. For the case of Jonah, he actually tried to go the very opposite direction. But still, God took a hold of him and said, I have called you, and the faster you obey, the better. If you want to be in the fish for 3 days, that's fine. I'll put you in there. Another Christian wrote that when God gives a command or vision of truth, it is never a question of what he will do, but what we will do. To be successful in God's work is to fall in line with his will and to do everything his way. All that is pleasing to him is a success. Just say, God, I am willing, and you know who I am. I am not good at anything, so you will have to give me the wisdom, the strength, the courage for every sufficiency that there is. Obedience and willingness is what we should have. God knows all those excuses, and he has a solution to each one of them. Now, the other thing about God's call is that if you're out there thinking, it cannot be me, then it's you. Amen? Only a few amens. If you think, it must be somebody else who's been called to do that, it is you. And truth is, as we speak, God is calling each one of us for his purposes. It could be something that we've been doing. It could be something that is going to begin. It could be something that will completely blow your mind. Something that you've never prepared to do. But God is calling us. And he's singling us out as his children. And he wants to use us. Moses is going to Egypt. This is a picture of salvation. God is calling us, each one of us, to bring people from bondage to freedom, from darkness to light, from hopelessness to hope, from destruction to a land flowing with milk and honey, to fruitfulness, from barrenness to fruitfulness, from weakness to strength. All we have to do is say, God, we are willing, so please help us. Amen? Talking about obedience, you remember the fictional story that Pastor Brian used to tell about this heavenly scene, and God asked the men to make two lines, two cues. One was for those who led and loved their wives, and the other for the men who are led and manipulated by their wives. So all of a sudden there was one long queue for the men who are dominated by their wives and led by them. Now this one person, this one man, who stood in the queue of the only man who loved and led his wife. And God asked him, so how did you do it? You know what he said? My wife told me to stand here. There's a story of a sailor who always lost his way in sea. Always. His friends bought him a compass. He said, no, stop getting lost. Get a compass. It will show you the right way. After giving him the compass, he lost his way. They asked him, all right, where are you? Where can we find you? Just follow your compass. He said, you know what? I don't want to follow my compass. I want to go north. It's telling me to go east. Sometimes we just want to do what we want to do, and yet we know that there's an arrow pointing the right direction that we need to follow. In Psalm 138, verse 8, write this, memorize it. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Amen? Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands. It's basically saying, God will deal with every insufficiency that I have by his mercy, by his strength. He will not forsake his own work. He's speaking there, the last part of the sentence, in third person. He will not forsake the works of his hands. He will not forsake me. And that's the first promise that God gave to Moses. I will be with you. Paul writing to the Philippians in chapter 1, verses 3 to 6. He said, I thank God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. If you're out there, you feel insufficient and unable to fulfill the task, you are in good company, aren't you? All of us are insufficient. And all of us have lots of excuses. And that's why Paul reminds the Philippians who actually felt the same. He said, I'm praying for you each time I remember you. I pray for you with joy. I'm happy to pray for you. It says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And I know this for sure, him who saved you will take care of you and everything else until he comes for you again, until his second coming, till the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that brings us so much comfort and strength, doesn't it? You go out there today, and whatever God has asked you to do, know this for sure, he will do it through you. Yes, some of us are cowards, some of us can't speak well, some of us are introverts, some of us are what? Feel like, you know what, I am the worst, I'm the least, I'm the smallest. God knows that. But he still says he will do it. Amen? None of us is disqualified from his service. Even when we disqualify ourselves, even when we say, God, just choose somebody else, he will still not disqualify us. And later on in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 15, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. It says, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Again, he reminds them, it is God who gives you the will and the ability to do for his own pleasure. And in the entire chapter, God explains to Moses that it is me who is giving you the will and the ability to do, and it is for my good pleasure. And Paul there adds, do everything that God has called you to do without complaining. Praise the Lord. How many of us like complaining? All of us do, right? At least every day, everywhere, there is something to complain about. And each time we're complaining, remember this is a fallen world. We cannot expect perfection. It is completely upside down. Instead of complaining, we need to learn how to be flexible. So if you're looking for a hammer and you can't find any, stop complaining about the hardware has been closed that morning. Just get a stone. It will do the job. Do everything without complaining or even conflicting, disputing, arguing, that you may become blameless and harmless. You won't hurt anyone by not complaining. Did you know that? Blameless, harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation. That's what we want to be. That's who we want to be. We want to be light in darkness. We want to be straight in a world that is meandering all over the place. All we have to do, Christians, is be willing to be used of God. That's all we have to do. Is that even hard? You can imagine God calls us for everything that he wants to do. Everything. And then God says, I'm going to give you everything that you need. And sometimes we think that we are adding something to God's call. We cannot add anything to God's call. All we do is follow the line that God has called us to walk through. Just willingness. And truth is, we will feel insufficient. We will feel insecure. We will doubt. But even if we do so, God's truth remains the same. Doubting does not change anything about who God is and what he has called us to do. Disobeying does not alter anything either, does it? Fear changes nothing about what God has called you to do. When God calls us to do anything, and He is calling us, just put up your hand and say, God, yes, I am willing, so help me, so equip me, so shape me, mold me. Amen? Let's stand and pray. And in prayer, let's just surrender to God and allow Him to use us the way He wants to. Lord, thank you so much for calling us to your service. Thank you so much for having an answer to all the excuses that we can ever give. Thank you so much for not only calling us, but giving us your Spirit to empower us, to lead us, to guide us, to help us. He's our helper. To counsel us. He's our counselor. To answer any question that we may have. Lord, yes, we are completely insufficient for the great task that you're calling us to do. And you know that only you has all sufficiency. And we know that only you can give us everything for the task. So Lord, help us. May we be willing. May we say yes to your God. May we surrender everything to you, Lord. May we be ready, prepared, and willing to pack and leave if you want us to pack and leave. Lord, I pray that as you call Moses to free your children from slavery, may you, O God, use us to free so many from sin, from hopelessness, from fear, from weakness, from doubt, from barrenness, O God. And may you lead them to fruitfulness, to hope, to courage, to strength, O God, to freedom. May we, O Lord, shine your light in this dark and crooked world. In Jesus' name we pray.